Good morning. We're on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis in the Ein Yaakov Mavor on page Tzadi Vav, paragraph Samach Aleph. We said last week that Boaz gave Rus 6 measures of barley, whether they were kernels or stalks or seim, 6 something of barley as a sign that she would have 6 descendants who would each have 6 brachos. The first one was David, and we discussed that the 6 brachos of David last week. The second one is Mashiach. Mashiach tichtiv, v'nacha alav ruach Hashem, ruach chochmah vina, ruach etzah gvurah, ruach dat v'irat Hashem. Regarding Mashiach, it says in Yeshaya, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Beis, a spirit of Hashem will rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and Gvura, strength, a spirit of knowledge and fear of Hashem. At first glance, and Rashi says that the six blessings are Chokhmah, Binah, Itzah, Gvura, Dat, and Yirat Hashem. Those are the 6: wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowledge, and fear of Hashem. Uchtiv, and it says, V'haricho b'yirat Hashem. He will smell with Yiras Hashem. V'lo l'mareh einav yishpot, v'lo l'mishnah uznav yochiach. He will not judge by the sight of his eyes or by the hearing of his ears. Amar Rabbi Alexandri. Rabbi Alexandri says, Milamed shitino mitzvot v'isrim kerechayim. This teaches that Hashem will weigh down Mashiach with mitzvos and with suffering like a millstone. He darshens the word vaharicho to mean, to be alluding to a rechayim, a millstone. The Mashiach, Hashem will give him many opportunities to do mitzvos in, as a schus, and to help him bring merit to Klal Yisrael so that he can be Mashiach, and likewise he will suffer, as I mentioned the other day, a lot of things that we think of as Christian concepts actually came from Judaism, because Christianity is an offshoot of Judaism, and this idea of Mashiach suffering for our sins is a Jewish concept, not exactly the way the Christians understand it, but it's basically a Jewish concept. And Mashiach will suffer in order to bring merit to Jewish people. And we find many places the idea that a tzaddik dies to bring merit to the generation. Rashi in Parshas Chukas says that. It's very much a Jewish concept. Rava Amar, Rava says, what does a pasuk mean, v'haricho b'yirat Hashem? That he will smell with yiras Hashem, demorach v'da'in. He will be able to sense the truth. He won't judge with his eyes or with his ears. He'll judge with his nose. He'll be able to smell the truth. Dichtiv, lo lamar'ei inav yishpot. And we'll talk separately about what that means, not today. It says he will not judge with his eyes. V'shafat b'tzedek dalim v'chiyach mishor lan v'arts. He will judge with righteousness the poor and rebuke in a straightforward way the humble of the land. Okay, so this idea of judging with his nose, we'll talk about another day, not today. There are a lot of things to talk about here. But what I want to talk about today is, look at Rashi on page Tzadi Zayin, the left-hand page. Rashi says, Hachi Garsinan. This is the correct version of the Gemara. First look at the very top of the page. Very first word you see, it says at the top of the page, Uchtiv, and it is written. So the Gemara brought a pasuk with 6 statements about Mashiach, and then it says Uchtiv, and it is written. Rashi says Hachi Garsinan v'haricho b'yirat Hashem. This is the correct version of the Gemara. He will smell with yiras Hashem. Amar Rabbi Alexandri shitino mitzvot v'yisrin kirichaim. Rabbi Alexandri said that Hashem weighted him down with mitzvos and suffering like a millstone. Hainu v'haricho l'shon rechaim. The word v'haricho is a language of millstone. V'lo garsinan uchtiv v'haricho. It should not say uchtiv, like our Gemara says, and it is written v'haricho. It's a freestanding statement. So according to Rashi, the correct way of reading the Gemara is, starting again from from letter Samach Aleph, Mashiach Tichtiv Nachalav Ruach Hashem, Ruach Chochma Vina. Regarding Mashiach, it says a spirit of Hashem will rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, Ruach Etzah Gvura, a spirit of counsel and strength, Ruach Dat Virat Hashem, a spirit of knowledge and fear of God. Period. New statement. V'haricho Virat Hashem. There's a pasuk that says he will. In fact, it's the pasuk right after the one we just read. He will smell with Yiras Hashem. What does that mean? Rabbi Alexandri says it means he's weighted down with mitzvos and suffering like a millstone. Two separate statements, according to Rashi. That's all we're going to read inside now. There's a commentary in the Ein Yaakov called the Rif, not the same Rif who's in the back of the Gemara. That's an early Rishon. This is an Achron, Rav Yishaya Pinto. And he is bothered by, I probably should have had you keep the Rashi's open for another minute, but he's bothered by the wording of the Rashi. It seems to be out of order. Because first, Rashi explains what Rabbi Alexandri is saying, and then Rashi says it should not say Uchtiv at the beginning. It's out of order. Rashi usually goes in order. Rashi should have said, it shouldn't say Uchtiv. And here's what Rabbi Alexandria say. So he explains as follows. Perish Rashi, hit ino berichayim, that Hashem weighed Mashiach down like a millstone. V'haynu v'haricho, that's what the pasuk means. When it says v'haricho, it darshens the word v'haricho because it sounds like rechayim. V'lo garsina Uchtiv. And it doesn't say Uchtiv Haricho. So the Rif says, we have to understand this precisely. Masha Perish Tvarav Shamar Verichayim, Ainu Haricho, Lashon Rechayim, Vacharze Chazar Lachorav. Why did Rashi go backwards? Lomar, after he explained the words to say Velo Garsina Uchtiv Haricho, Vefshar Lomar, so we could say, Delolam Savarashi Zal de Garsina Begmar Uchtiv Haricho, Lisvarat Rava. That Rashi is not saying that the word Uchtiv should not be in the Gemara. Straightforwardly, you would read Rashi as the word Uchtiv should not be in the Gemara at all. No, that's not what Rashi's saying. We had two interpretations of the word Vaharicho. One is that it alludes to Rechayim, to a millstone, that Rabbi Alexandri says Mashiach will be weighted down with mitzvos and suffering like a millstone. And according to Rava, it means that Mashiach will be able to smell the truth. According to Rava, the second statement about Mashiach smelling the truth is connected to the six blessings that Mashiach has, and he'll explain why. Only according to Rabbi Alexandri, the pasuk of Vaharicho has nothing to do with the pasuk before. The Darash v'haricho demorach v'day. And Rava says that haricho means that Mashiach will be able to smell the truth. Why? L'fishu ruach yirat Hashem ein bracha met Hashem. The six blessings that we thought were the six, that Rashi says the six blessings are wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowledge, and fear of God. Fear of God cannot be a blessing. Ki akobi de shamayim chutz mirat shamayim. Everything is in the hands of God except for fear of God. God can't give us fear of God. So according to Rava, there's a blessing missing because we said they're going to be six and there are only five. And so Uchtiv, and it's also written in the next pasuk that he can smell the truth. So according to Rava, the word Uchtiv is necessary. Rashi, when Rashi says, V'lo garsinan Uchtiv haricho, he's saying, according to Rabbi Alexandri, who interprets Vaharicho as being weighted down with suffering like a millstone, it can't say Uchtiv. It can't be connected to the previous Gemara that there are six blessings, because that's not a blessing, to be weighted down with suffering like a millstone. Even though we believe suffering is good for us, but no one would consider that a blessing. So that's why Rashi first explained what Rabbi Alexandri meant, and then he said, and according to Rabbi Alexandri, it shouldn't say Uchtiv. The two things aren't connected. Okay, that it would explain why the Rashi's out of order. But now, according to Rabbi Alexandria, there's a blessing missing. There are only five. There should be six. According to Rava, the six are wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowledge of Hashem, and being able to smell the truth. But according to Rabbi Alexandria, he doesn't hold that Mashiach can smell the truth, or at least he doesn't learn it from the Pasuk. So there's a blessing missing. So he says that according to Rabbi Alexandria, you'd have to say that fear of God is counted as a blessing, because we have a concept that if a person wants to purify himself, God helps him purify himself. So in that sense, Yiras Hashem can be a blessing too. Fear of God can also be a blessing. It means God will give him a blessing that he will help him achieve fear of God when he wants to achieve fear of God. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. What I want to talk about today is this idea of everything is in the hands of God except fear of God. There are at least three places in Shemoneh Esrei where we seem to daven that God should make us righteous. Okay. How can that be? How can we daven that God should make us righteous? First is the bracha of Hashiveinu Avinu Tartecha. Return us, God, to your Torah. V'karvenu Alkeinu Levodatecha. And bring us close to your service. V'chazireinu V'shuvashim Alfanecha. And return us in repentance, in complete repentance before you. How can we make such a request? Second place, in the bracha of Al HaTzadikim Al HaChasidim, on the righteous and on the pious, and on everyone else listed there, your mercy should overflow. And give good reward to all those who trust in you truthfully. And put our lot with them. We seem to be saying, make us one of them. How can we say that? And the third one, at the end, is not technically part of Shemoneh Esrei. It's actually technically a separate prayer. After Shemoneh Esrei, Elokai Netzor L'Shani Meira, God, guard my tongue from evil. How can we ask that? Words? Because we have free choice. It's not one of the 13 articles of faith that we have free choice, but it's close to it. It's one of the basic understandings of Judaism is that we have free choice. Although when we talked about Diyan Bechira, about God's knowledge and the paradox of God's knowledge and our own free choice, did mention there's one Rishon who says we don't have free choice, it's all an illusion. But everyone else holds that we do have free choice, and that's almost the fundamental of our religion. Otherwise, how could God reward us and punish us? We don't have free choice. So how can we ask God to interfere in our free choice by guarding our tongue from evil?
Okay. It is your free choice.
Excellent point. That's excellent, excellent answer. I recall that Rav Tzadok HaKohen says, but I could not find it. I spent a long time yesterday looking for it. Maybe somebody listening will tell me where it is. But I recall learning that Rav Tzadok HaKohen says that actually our job is not to do anything except to want the correct thing. In fact, there is a discussion about this. It's a little bit tangential, so I didn't bring the sources, but do we actually have the ability to do anything? Or is it just our job to want to do the right thing? Everything else is in the hands of God. If I want to get up and come to this shiur at 5:30 in the morning, then that's my job, to want to come, and the rest is up to God, whether I'll get here or not. Okay. So the job of our free choice is simply to want not to speak Lashon Hara, and as soon as we sincerely say to God, prevent me from saying Lashon Hara, we've done our job. That is one understanding. And I mean, that's everything we're going to say today is along those lines. You put it very succinctly. There's a Machlokas Rishonim regarding the understanding of Elokai Netzor L'Shoni Meira. the Avudraham, 14th century commentary on the Siddur and Halachos of davening, a major source for our laws of davening and our understanding of davening. He says, regarding Elokai Netzor L'Shnei Mira, God, by the way, it's not Elokai Netzor. It's Elokai, my God, Netzor L'Shnei Mira, guard my tongue from evil. People call it Elokai Netzor. It's actually just like Elokai Neshama. You say at the beginning of davening, it's Elokai, my God. Neshama shenatata bi torahi. The neshama you put in me is pure. It's not Elokai Neshama. It's Elokai Neshama. So he says, V'afo pisha tov v'ra mesrim v'yad adam. Avudraham says.
So that means just you're putting emphasis on how important it is rather than asking him.
No, it's a question of punctuating it correctly, so you're saying what it means. It's Elokai, right. My God,
right.
Neshama shenatata bi torahi, the soul that you put in me is pure. Elokai, my God, Nesor Shani Mirah, guard my tongue from evil. I'm saying that in common speech, we call it Elokai Netzar. It's as if I would say, Akiva, go to the shir. No, it's Akiva, go to the shir. It's not Akiva, go to the shir. That's all. It's just correct punctuation.
Okay.
In this week's parsha, somebody yesterday, yesterday morning, I leaned at another shul, as I usually do, and somebody came up for the third aliyah, which the third aliyah starts with the pasuk, v'hu isha b'vtula yikach, the Kohen Gadol, should marry a basula, a virgin. Okay. So the person came up, and I pointed to the place, and I said, v'hu. And with a big smile, he said, v'hu isha, which grammatically makes no sense, and he is a woman. So afterwards, I was discussing with him, as a person who knows how to lane, and I was discussing with him that there's a common myth that you don't correct somebody who makes a mistake in trump, in the tune. But that's not true. It's a myth. Because if it changes the meaning, you have to correct him. And the trump is the punctuation. The tune is the punctuation. So, v'hu, and he, isha b'vtula yikach, should marry a basula. If you would say, v'hu isha, and he is a woman, should marry Basula, changes the meaning. So back to the Avudraham and Elokai Netzor. The Avudraham says, V'afo pisha tovaram shrim b'yad adam, even though good and evil are given into the hands of man, umvakesh meit Hashem l'sayeu l'satov. In this tefillah, we are asking Hashem to help us to do good. I'm going to take the metro to work. I'm getting on at the second stop. A guy who's a big Baal Lashon Hara, is a gossip, a big gossip, got on at the stop before. He's in the third car. God has the ability to direct me to the third car, where I will inevitably get caught up in gossip with this person, or direct me to the fourth car of the train. Right? God has that ability. So if I sincerely, of course, Avudraham lived in the 1300s, he didn't have subways, I'm just giving an example. If I sincerely daven to Hashem to save me from Lashon Hara, God will send me onto the subway car that doesn't have the gossip on it, who's going to get me into a conversation, or he'll make me come to shul 30 seconds earlier or 30 seconds later so I don't meet the guy in the parking lot and hear Lashon Hara.
Because
I sincerely want it.
Could be a test whether you get on the third car, whether you leave to bother to go.
Okay, that's also true. It's not, if the car is crowded, then it's not always easy to get on and off. There are a billion factors. There are a billion factors. Okay, that's not the point. The point is Hashem has the ability to respond to our prayer by not testing us, by not giving us a challenge. That's how the Avudraham was. Another Rishon, Rabbi Yehuda ben Yakar, Rebbe of the Ramban, and author of a very important commentary on Tefillah, on prayer, says about Elokai Netzor. Lefi shekatuv. Now, where does this language, Elokai Netzor L'Shen Mira, come from? It comes from Tehillim, from a famous song. Netzor L'Shen Mira, guard your tongue from evil. And we switch the, in davening, we switch it to God, you guard my tongue from evil. So he says, Lefi shekatuv Netzor L'Shen Mira, usfatecha, it should be, it's a typo. Midaber mirma. Since the pasuk says in Tehillim, guard your tongue from evil and your lips from trickery or treachery. it would seem, to depend on the person himself. L'chach omer m'pelel gam hu b'yadcha. Therefore, we acknowledge in davening, it's not entirely in our hands. It's also in your hands, God. As the Medrash Tanchuma says, there are three things that Hashem created that are in a person's control: his mouth, his hands, and his feet. And when Hashem wants, they are not in a person's hands. Sharei, for example, when Esav came before Yitzchak, Yitzchak was about to curse Yaakov when he realized what Yaakov had done. And Hashem took control of Yitzchak's mouth, and he said, Gam Baruch Yeh, he will also be blessed. We acknowledge that we don't actually have complete free choice. Sometimes Hashem takes the controls. And so we ask Hashem, when you take the controls, please let it be for good. That's how Rabbi Yehuda ben Yakar, the Rebbe of the Ramban, understands El Kain Tzar. So two ways to understand it. Either we're saying, God, we need your help. Like Don said, we can only want. We need God to carry it out. Or, as Rabbi Yehuda ben Yakar says, sometimes God takes the controls away from us, and we're asking God, when you take the controls away from us, be merciful. As I mentioned, in the bracha of Alat Tzadikim, we say, "V'sim chokenu imahem," place our portion with them. The Arizal says in Shar HaKavanos, when he talks about Shmoneh Esrei, and let me assure you, I found a reference to this somewhere else and then looked it up. I'm not reading the Arizal page by page. So he says, on the words, "V'sim chokenu imahem," place our portion with them. We need to have a proper understanding of these words. It would seem to be a prayer in vain and a blessing in vain. Since a person has free choice, how can a person daven that Hashem should place his portion with the tzaddikim? Very nina v'chira b'yad adam. Free choice is given to a person. Komram, as Gemara says, that before a baby is born, Hashem decrees he'll be rich, he'll be poor, he'll be healthy, he'll be sick, he'll be strong, he'll be weak. V'ilu tzaddik v'rasha lo kamar. God does not decree if he'll be a tzaddik or a rasha. V'im nomar shakavanahi. And if we'll say the intention is sh'af shechta yitpalel atal Hashem yitbarach, that even if a person has sinned, that nevertheless place my portion with the tzaddikim, that only doubles the question. Hashem is righteous, and he gives what he deserves. So how can we daven, God, place our portion with the tzaddikim? He answers, very interesting, and don't ask me any questions about it, because I can't explain it any better than how I'm going to read and translate it. Ach, omnam akavanahi. This is what the words, v'sim chalkenu imahem, place our portion with them, mean. Ki, kasher adam choteli from me. When a person occasionally sins, v'osel v'irot ha-machavet mitzvot, he does sins which extinguish his mitzvos. Az monea mitzvos char mitzvotav hashasa. He causes the reward of his mitzvos to be withheld from him. As long as he has not repented, the lights and the angels and the angels who speak in his favor, who were created by that mitzvah, according to Hashem's wisdom, they are given to a tzaddik. The merits, if I do an avera that erases a mitzvah, don't ask me what the formula is, how a mitzvah, an avera erases a mitzvah, I don't know. But sometimes an avera can erase a mitzvah. Where does that reward for that mitzvah go? It goes, Hashem has a formula by which it goes to a certain tzaddik. It's like the conservation of reward. We have the conservation of matter and the conservation of energy. We have the conservation of reward. The reward's not extinguished. We can understand this a little bit with Nefesh HaChaim that we've mentioned in this shiur at least three times, that says on the first Mishnah in this chapter in of Sanhedrin, he explains that the reward is of a mitzvah is the light that we created. There isn't an Olam Haba waiting for us. And if you're good, you get to go to this Olam Haba. We're creating our Olam Haba constantly. By doing mitzvos, we create light. By doing sins, we create darkness. That's the reward and the punishment, the light and the dark. Well, if we created that light, where does it go? If we don't deserve it. If later we don't deserve it, where does it go? So Arizal says, it goes to another tzaddik. Omnam. However, yesh eizet tzaddikim dolim hamal, dolei hamala. There are some very great tzaddikim, sheinam rotzim leinot mezulatam. They don't want gifts from other people. They want what they earned. There's Gemara says, right, regarding Shmuel HaNavi, the prophet Shmuel, that even though he would travel around the country, he always took his own food with him. He never accepted hospitality from anyone. That's a certain midah. Some said, Gemara says, if you want to be like that, that's okay. If you want to be like Elisha HaNavi, who did accept hospitality, that's also okay. There are some tzaddikim who don't want to take anything from anyone else. They only want their own. So when they get this light of someone else's mitzvah, they are trustworthy guardians. Because when the owner of that light will repent, these tzaddikim will return that light to its owner. So that's what we're davening here. God, if you need to take away our reward, put it with those tzaddikim who will give it back. So the Rizal explains. It's a little hard for us to understand this concept, a little esoteric. That's the Rizal. But that's his understanding of these words. There's a sefer called Shailos Tshuvos Me'il Tzedakah. It's a halachic sefer. And he asks a question to this Arizal. Why was Arizal bothered by the words "V'sim chokeinu imahem" in the later bracha of Shmoneh Esrei al Tzadikim? The Arizal is not bothered by the entire bracha where we say "Ashiveinu avinu l'Torahtecha," God, return us to the Torah, and bring us close to your service, and return us in repentance. Why didn't Arizal ask his question over there? How can we say such a prayer when it's all up to us? Now, before I tell you what the Me'il Tzedakah says to answer this question, I will point out how Rav Yehuda ben Yakar, the Rebbe of the Ramban, understands this bracha. Our request in this bracha is that once we have started to do tshuva, please help us to continue to do tshuva. Prayer cannot help us do tshuva if we have not taken the first step. The Me'il Tzedakah, I forgot the author's name, I gave the sefer to my son in Yerushalayim, and I just have a photocopy of these few pages, and I don't remember the author's name. I lived, I think, in the 1600s or early 1700s. He was asked a question regarding a man who apostatized, left the Jewish faith, and took his young child with him. And people wanted to know, can we daven that he should come back? Can you daven for someone else to do tshuva? The Me'il Tzedakah says that this touches on the fundamental concept of Bechira. At first glance, I would say, you cannot daven for someone else to repent because he has free choice. God's not going to interfere in that. However, he says that clearly, free choice is not absolute. Sometimes Hashem does intervene. We have an explicit pasuk, Lev Malachim Sarim Biad Hashem. The heart of kings is in the hands of God. So we see that sometimes Hashem does intervene in a person's free choice. Excellent. Excellent question. So he discusses a number of cases in Gemara. Right. So he discusses a number of places in Gemara where it seems that a person davened for someone else to repent. So before we get to that, though, he says, we have an explicit bracha in Shmoneh Esrei. Hashiveinu avinu Torahtecha, God, return us to your Torah. God, bring us close to your service. God, help us do tshuva. Return us in tshuva. So you see that God does have a role. However, you could say that that doesn't really count because, as Don pointed out earlier, we're asking for it. So once we've taken the first step, we have a concept that if a person wants to do the right thing, God helps him. Right? So maybe that's what the bracha of Hashiveinu is. God, we hereby declare we want to do the right thing. Please help us. So that would not be a proof, however, that you could daven for someone else to repent. So what about the story of Bruria? Bruria was the wife of Rabbi Meir. There were some thugs in the neighborhood who were bugging Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir wanted to daven they should die. And Bruria said, no, daven that they should repent. That would seem to indicate you could daven for someone else to repent. So he says, and there are two similar stories in different places in Gemara. So first he points out that Rashi says, the word the Gemara uses is biryonim. A biryon is a thug, a tough guy. But Rashi translates biryon in that instance as an unlearned person. Why did Rashi deviate from the normal understanding of thug and say unlearned person? So he suggests that in that case, davening for them to repent was like davening for a sick person to be healed. A person who unfortunately never had the opportunity to learn Torah, we feel pity for him. We're davening, God, please have mercy on this person and enlighten him. And then, as a result, he will repent. We're not davening for him to repent. God can't make him repent. God can have mercy on him and make him run into the right person from Eshat Torah or Sameach or some other organization who's going to inspire him. And that you can do. It's like davening for God to have mercy on someone. That's one answer, one case where you could daven for someone to repent, where he's an unlearned person and you'd have pity on him and you're saying, God, have mercy on him. But what if he did learn and he's ignoring it? Then that wouldn't work. But another possible way that you could daven for him is, and this could apply to somebody who did learn, the situation with Rabbi Meir and Bruria was that these neighbors were bothering Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir wanted to daven, God, make them stop bothering me. Take them away. It wasn't about them. It was about him. God, they're bugging me. Get them off my back. And Bruria said, there's a nicer way to do that. You don't have to daven for them to die. God can get them off your back by making them repent. So daven, God, get them off my back by making them repent, instead of God, get them off my back by making them die. But it wasn't about them. It was about him. It was about his needs. So that's another situation where you could daven for someone to repent. So true. That's true. But once he's already davening, he should daven in the nicest possible way. And you could combine the two things. God, have mercy on them. Let them repent so that they'll get off my back. There are many ways, but might as well be the nicest way.
Was he saying that in one of those scenarios, he's davening that his behavior should change, that he's...
Not his behavior.
That's what I'm saying.
That he wasn't
his behavior, his outlook should change such that these people will not want to bother him.
No, he wasn't doing anything wrong. They were annoying and maybe anti-religious people.
But we know that the tzaddikim are held in high esteem, and therefore,
there was something wrong with these people.
Up, so if you get to a higher level, then...
Okay, we can trust that Rabbi Meir introspected and was confident that this was not due to his fault. Yeah, I'm sure that before any of this, he introspected a great deal to say, am I doing anything wrong? He is Rabbi Meir, one of the greatest Tanaim. So then he gets to this Arizal, and he says, as I said, he asks, why does Arizal wait till the later bracha in Shemoneh Esrei to ask the question, not earlier? So he says that clearly a person can daven, God, I want to do the right thing, help me. But in this bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, we say, ala tzadikim, on the righteous people, ala chassidim, on the pious people, and on the elders, and on the teachers, place our portion with them. You can ask God to help you repent. You cannot ask God to make you a tzaddik or a pious person. That's 100% up to you. You can ask God to help you get on the right path. You want to purify yourself? God will help you purify yourself. So the Arizal wasn't bothered by that earlier bracha. God, return us to your Torah. Help us do tshuva. That's a whole different level than this later bracha. God, place our portion with the tzaddikim. That's why the Arizal was bothered by that. That's what the Me'il Tzedakah says. He then says, we've established that a person can, answering the question, he was asked a halachic question. Can we daven that his father should repent so that and bring his child back? She says, well, we've seen that you can daven for an unlearned person to repent, to learn to be enlightened, to be inspired so that he will repent. God have mercy on our unlearned neighbors so that they will go to yeshiva and be enlightened. Well, this child whose father converted to Islam or Christianity, more likely Islam since it was in Turkey, and took his child with him, this child is completely innocent bystander. He's like that person who never learned. We can pray, God, inspire the child. What's the most likely scenario for that child to be inspired? If his father repents. Therefore, for the sake of the child who needs God's mercy, the same way Rabbi Meir could daven, God, get these people off my back by inspiring them to repent, we can daven, God, have mercy on this child by inspiring his father to repent. So that is his psak, that yes, you can daven. With that understanding, you can daven for the father who kidnapped the child and converted to Islam to repent as a way of having mercy on the child. That is the Me'il Tzedaka. What we see in any event is that we have free choice, but there are scenarios where God will intervene. We can ask God to help us do the right thing. We can ask, as the Re Ben Yakar explains, Alokai Nitzar, we can ask God, when, for whatever reason, you need to intervene in our free will, do it in the best possible way. These are all things that a person can and should have in mind in his davening. Of course, the basic tenet is that we have free will. We can't blame our mistakes on God. We do have free will, and we're responsible for our actions. Have a good day.